There are two ways we can think about the ultra-rich. There are the lavish homes, jets, and jewels from TV's Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But there's also the image of Andrew Carnegie, the steel baron who devoted his life to philanthropy. Carnegie created the public library system and influenced cultural and educational life throughout the country. And he did this by giving away almost 90% of his wealth in his lifetime. These days, though, America's ultra-wealthy families, we're talking about those with more than $500 million in assets, donated smaller than average sums to charities in 2017. That's according to a report from the nonprofit The Bridge Span Group. Susan Wolf Didcoff is a partner there, and I spoke with her more about why big money isn't translating into big giving these days. But first, I had a big question for her. How big of a group is this? Is this the 1%?
Even smaller. It's probably, and it's roughly 1,800 families.
1,800 total. Okay. But you're also showing here that the ultra rich, like these folks, are giving away less today than they used to. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been about stagnant, I would say. What we figured out is that if you look at their assets, meaning all of the wealth that they hold, that they're giving roughly 1.2% to charity each year, which is kind of a remarkable number. And if you think about that in terms of long-term return on assets from the stock market, sort of how quickly is it piling up, those numbers are in the 9% range.
Wow. And at the same time, am I right in assuming, it sounds like I've heard a lot lately about how the rich are getting richer, right? Like, you hear about Michael Bloomberg or Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, like, they can't seem to give away enough to make a dent in their fortunes. They just keep making more money as their investments grow. Is that the case for all of these folks?
I think it depends on the family. But yes, by and large, there is a tremendous wealth accumulation right now. And I think the good news is that a number of these families, they're watching the income inequality numbers as well. And they're wondering, how can they be more generous? How can they support causes that they care about? In fact, when we looked at people who had signed the Bill Gates, Warren Buffett giving pledge, we looked at the letters that they wrote. And they wrote very personal letters about why they were signing and why philanthropy was important to them. And a pretty large majority actually cited issues like the American dream and ensuring kind of that there's equality of opportunity for future generations, and how that was a worry that was important to their family and they were worried about it going forward. So I think, you know, there's good news, which is that people do want to be more generous. And I think our study was looking at, you know, what were some of the barriers to becoming more generous and how could those barriers be overcome?
Yeah. So how do you convince the ultra wealthy here to give away more? Is this about, you're suggesting, it seems like this is about sort of the desire to do something that is socially significant, that will create lasting change?
What we're seeing is that there are a few mechanisms, I would say, that are building up their ability to do so. So, for example, we know that nobody wants to make a bad decision or a risky decision. So one of the things that we found is that there's something called capital aggregation, which is basically a pooled fund. And look at a set of investments that maybe they wouldn't be able to make on their own. They wouldn't be able to do all that due diligence. But when they can pool their money and they can all look together, it's a really great way for them to almost de-risk that investment and make it safer and more likely that there will be great outcomes.
I wonder if you think that this group of people who have so much money get kind of a bad rap in terms of, like, they're only giving 1% of it, and that might be still a significant amount of millions of dollars. But do you think that the challenges are legitimate in terms of what the procedures and the mechanisms that are in place for them to be able to give in a smart way?
I would say the jury's out. We'll see when these mechanisms start to grow if there is demand for them. So I think the proof will be in the pudding. But I will also say that it's hard to do philanthropy well. I think there's, you know, at its worst, philanthropists can be whimsical and can just give to causes that they care about, whether or not those are the ways in which the beneficiaries would actually want that money to be spent. And so I do think that they do have a responsibility to engage and really hear from the communities that they're hoping to benefit.
we're talking about folks who have so much money, it's like unfathomable to most of us. But why does this matter to the rest of us? Why should it matter to the rest of us where and how much the ultra rich are giving?
So if you think about the middle class and you think about people who are working every day at their jobs, trying to create a better life for their children and their families, you know, there's a real question about economic mobility right now and asking the questions of who, you know, for whom is this economy designed to benefit, and what does that mean? What does it look like? So I think there is a pretty important conversation that we all need to be a part of about money. What is, you know, what is wealth? What is the role of wealth? How does wealth influence our political system? How does it influence our charitable system? And where are there places where philanthropy can actually do a tremendous amount of good? Just take the gay marriage victories over the last decade plus. You know, those very well would not have happened without philanthropy. If you think about public libraries, you think about sort of a variety of great things that have happened in this country and in our world. Philanthropy, because it's flexible, because they're not accountable, can do terrific things. At the same time, that lack of accountability can be an issue, again, especially if they're not being responsive to the needs of the people whom they're trying to help. So I think that at its best, philanthropy has an incredibly important role to play. Watching that role of philanthropy and helping it be at its best, I do think does matter to all of us.
Yeah. All right. That's Susan Wolf-Ditkoff, a partner with the Bridgespan Group. Susan, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.